Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 5th on the West Coast, now July the 6th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world as well, and hope everyone had a happy and safe Dependence Day. Or did I say that? Maybe I was supposed to say independence, but it's become increasingly evident to many Americans that we don't have independence. They just tell us that we do. They've always told us that we do. Anyone alive and listening right now has lived through the time period where things in America changed quite a bit. That said, I had a kind of a laid-back holiday myself, but I did some research, rather interesting research, and I noticed in the massive amount of junk mail I got today, and I have to be cautious with what I cast out right away, because often some people who are officially on my own mailing list, they're in my address book, we'll say, and so their email is not rejected. Sometimes mass mail an article to a large number of people. So my email program, as yours may do, sometimes rejects these messages and puts them in the junk mailbox. So before I delete them, I look at them. And wouldn't you know, spam email time again this time of year. Right around the 4th of July, a host of spam email comes out, and it's not the typical spam. Actually, there are a lot fewer people soliciting Kenyan bank account requests to use my American bank account to send me millions of dollars because they've selected me as the person they can trust to handle funds. And it's nothing but a series of scams and schemes that are probably all generated from the intelligence agencies. I mean, really, do you think people in Kenya or Nigeria are just sitting around with computers all day long sending this email looking for one in 10 million people who are stupid enough to give them access to their personal financial information? Just to be scammed. Now, it has happened to some people, but nevertheless, the type of spam that I'm talking about are all of these fear-monger emails about chemtrails. We know chemtrails are dangerous. Certain individuals in the chemtrail community that are suddenly receiving special therapy, holistic therapies to overcome diseases that they've encountered, despite the fact that they were sealed up, their house or their apartment was sealed up like a drum, and yet they came down with a disease and had to go to San Diego to get some help. When you do the research, you find out the person lives in San Diego. So it's kind of ridiculous. And then these are people that are putting out these, you know, they're trying to vaccinate us. Watch out, watch out. And all they're doing is gathering data. They're collecting data on who hasn't been vaccinated or how many people are in the family, how many children you have, how many of them are in schools. It's all data mining and it's all disinformation. Now, I bring this up because on the heels of many of the things that have been transpiring recently, and those who listen to the show with any frequency know exactly what I'm talking about. I I decided I was going to look deeper behind these things. Who are these people who are slandering and making these outrageous claims about one of tonight's guests, for example, actually both of tonight's guests? And how is it that so many people go to these websites of people they've never heard? These people are using aliases as their IUP, or their URL, I mean, their IP address, and presenting themselves as scientists, metaphysical scientists, and inventors of orgone energy devices. And when you do some research, you find out that nothing that's printed in the so-called registration of the website is true, that there's obfuscation. And when you follow the path, and I've developed a little bit of a reputation for being able to unearth what is hidden beneath layers of rocks and down in the rabbit holes that have been vacated by the rabbits, or in the government databases, which are really run by the organized crime figures that are scamming the real estate community and putting people out of their homes while they're making trillions of dollars overseas by lump summing all of these illegal mortgage transfers into foreign banks. This has been going on at least since 1993. And I find the same routes, the same pathways open up as soon as I start investigating these individuals running these websites who are making these slanderous, libelous, defamatory comments on radio shows, on writing, in published works that are ending up on a myriad of websites that all seem to have sprung out of nowhere. Suddenly these people are given the attention of a major celebrity overnight. In one day, suddenly the whole world in the internet community is looking at the writings of these individuals, which is more disinformation and more tentacles of the military-industrial congressional complex and their cohorts in the oil industry and pharmaceutical industry and the banking industry and the religious industry and on and on. Think of an industry, they control it all. So how is it that these people who are nobodies are given so much credit for their disproved information, these allegations that they make out of nowhere? I do the work and track who these people are. So when I speak about it, you can darn well be sure that I've already done the investigation. And inevitably, I can be researching a piece of real estate that suddenly appears in the midst of my research. And somehow it gets connected to the aerospace industry. This is not an accident. It's because of who is pulling the strings behind the scenes. Who's even pulling the strings of the Illuminati? Now, briefly, I just want to touch upon this subject. There was a birth certificate that was presented as the birth certificate, the certificate of live birth of the usurper in Washington, D.C. And it was on April 27th, 2011, that this document came out. It was instantly deemed a forgery. All I had to do was look at it one time, and I said, well, you know, if the other one was the real one, then what is this? Why not present the genuine document from the beginning? People can't seem to get that through their thick skulls that they're being played like an out-of-tune banjo. And I say that because you don't have to be real smart to play a banjo. And most people can't tell the difference between an in-tune instrument and an out-of-tune instrument. And you're being played like one when you don't use a little bit of common sense or a little bit of discernment. You look at the numerology of that date, and April is a 4. The 27 adds up to a 9. 4 and 9 is 13. And 2 and 11 is 13. And here they have 13, 13. And if you take the 13 and 13 and carry it out to a full equation, add it together, 13 plus 13 is 26. 2 and 6 is 8. That's their number for infinity. Infinity. So what are they saying? The 13 colonies under the rule of the 13 Illuminati families for infinity? I mean, it could mean a whole bunch of things. But in essence, they use these dates for ritualistic purposes. It's their belief system. It's not my own or others who understand this and study it. It reveals the truth if you look that deeply into what they're doing and why they do these things on certain dates or why they have certain people deliver the message. And the amount of disinformation that's out there right now, again, they started over this holiday weekend, the videos and the stories and the emails about another comet that's coming here. We're going to touch upon some of these topics in a moment here. I'm going to just give our guests the grace of a segue. I'm going to play a little ditty that I wrote a couple of years ago in honor of the secret underground alien base in Dulce, New Mexico. This is called La Vida Dulce.
We'll be right back.
That's La Vida Dulce, dedicated to the grays and the reptilians working so hard day and night on the lower levels of the underground base there, where people disappear, never to be seen again. Well, it's time to bring on tonight's guests. I want to thank them both for waiting so patiently while I did my little opening rant here. They certainly know what's behind this. My first guest hosts a very, very popular website. It's a fantastic repository of health, metaphysical, and even political information to just scratch the surface of what he carries on his site. The site is educate-yourself.org, and his name is Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. Glad to be back with you again.
Okay. Also, we have with us essayist, metaphysician, seer, and spiritual counselor. He's becoming my good friend, Z.S., or I should say, Zuranova Star Livingstone. Z.S., welcome to the show.
It's great to be back.
Well, gentlemen, there's so many things that I want to talk about, and of course, there's only so much we can fit into one show. But Ken, you know what I'm alluding to here in some of my opening remarks about all of these operatives that are out there now spewing fear and disinformation. In particular, there are two individuals that got a lot of attention. In fact, we even applauded some of their work because it seemed to go hand in hand with some of what we've been actually broadcasting on this show since early March, right from the time of the Fukushima nuclear power plant disaster and the earthquake and the tsunami and what have you. And we went into great depth in finding out what was going on there, actually speaking to people who were going to tell us the truth in Japan. And scientist Jim Murray is also part of those broadcasts and was responsible for bringing us firsthand accounts of what was going on from the people he knows there, reputable people who really are shocked at what's being put on the internet and what's being told through the media here in the United States. And one of these individuals is Jim Stone, freelance journalist, and the other is a guy named Dutch Sintz that posted similar stories. When you look into the background of these individuals and just consider, have I ever seen anything from these people before this happened? And who are they, and how do they get this rising star status instantly on the internet, this overwhelming presence? Who's behind that? Would you like to comment on that at all?
Well, I was going to focus on another individual because I'm more concerned about the untrue and slanderous statements this individual has made on the internet about me.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah,
you adjust your mic a little bit little stronger signal? Okay.
Okay. Concerning the Jim Stone article and Dutch Sintz, particularly Dutch Sintz, somebody sent me a link to his videos maybe 5 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly, 6 weeks ago. I'm not sure. And I went there and I had a look at what he was doing, what he was saying. I felt he was doing something very useful. He was spotting these infrared echo radar returns that anyone can access through a few different websites, in which you can clearly see there's some sort of artificial signal that's being beamed, broadcast for just a very short space of time. And they show up on these infrared maps. And as a result of this the pulsing of this energy into these particular geographical regions of the United States, what typically would happen is that severe weather would follow in the same area where these echoes showed up somewhere between 24 and 48 hours later. I thought that was a heck of an important observation, so I put up a couple articles talking about his work and putting links to his YouTube. What happened more recently, probably, perhaps mid-June or so, I'm guessing at the time frame here, is that one of the fellows who was followed this Dutch since postings a lot emailed me and said that this guy had taken sort of independent radiation readings around the country, and he noticed something that I and ZSL had talked about frequently on my website from the beginning of the Japan events in March of this year, is that what I noticed almost immediately within a few days, or within the week anyway, of the March 11th tsunami event in Japan, is that our media, alternative media particularly, I was picking it up a great deal from the Pacifica radio station that I listen to here in our area, KPFK. And then I was seeing a lot of articles posted at Jeff Rentz's website, which are all many individuals who I hadn't heard before, a guy named Arnie Gundersen, another guy named Yoshio Shimatsu, I think, and Christopher Busby. I never heard of him before. Lorraine Moray, I never heard of her before. We're posting YouTube presentations, articles, which are all screaming, the sky is falling, we're going to be radiated to death. That's essentially what they're saying. Lorraine Moray particularly was saying that there were 6 reactors in Japan that melted down. I mean, the overstatements, the hyperbole was simply over the roof. And so I said something about that in March. I said that this is being unduly hyped, exaggerated, yada, yada. I started to look at radiation meter readings in Japan, in the United States, and I saw nothing that justified such alarming statements.
Yeah.
So that was my introduction to Dutch Sense. And then earlier, I guess it was the beginning of June, around May 30, again, someone sent me a link to this article by Jim Stone. I never heard his name before. I never heard of him before. When you go to his website, he bills himself as a independent journalist, I think. Okay, fine.
Freelance.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Freelance journal. Okay. He put up what looked like a decent article, essentially affirming what I and ZSL had been stating on my website from March 12 forward. He was saying that the nature of the tsunami was such that and the earthquake, et cetera. He was essentially saying it wasn't really a 9.0 earthquake. There was a series of smaller earthquakes. The epicenters was closer to to Japan than what the government reported. He had a lot of photos there that showed no building damage. Now, we have relatives in Tokyo, so I talk to people in Tokyo. It's not as if the people in Tokyo, for instance, didn't feel any shaking. It was the most, let's say, vigorous earthquake that those people can remember experiencing in their lifetime. I mean, it was a hell of a shaker. So it's not like, the ground wasn't shaking in Japan there. Yeah, at least in that northern part Tokyo is more in the northern half of Japan.
In the nutshell, the buildings weren't damaged by the earthquake. They were damaged by the tsunami, which we revealed the cause. And one could argue that we're speculating. But the reason I wanted to bring this up basically is to say this information tends to support what we said in a sense. But it disregards the key elements of what we said. You see?
Yeah, that's true. Now, one of the very important key elements, which ZS especially, and there was another person who I alluded to who mm-hmm. has some ability to detect these things, had was telling me on March 12th, both ZS and his second party were telling me essentially the same thing, and they don't know each other. They don't talk to each other. I thought that was quite amazing, but it had to do with the pickup of, let's say, the psychic pickup of radiation in the water in the area where they were reporting that the epicenter was. And both ZS and this person picked up not only the radiation, ZS particularly just flat out told me these are nuclear devices that were detonated that mm-hmm. caused the tsunami, that yes, there was artificially induced earthquakes, but that didn't cause a tsunami. He specifically told me on March 12th that it was nuclear devices. Now, that was him and this other party. This other party says, I'm picking up a lot of radiation.
Yes.
And I says, one thing I asked the party, I says, well, is it like a nuclear submarine? No. This is contained radiation I'm picking up in some sort of metal containers. It's underwater. And that water, this party looks at the video, she can sort of get us like, let's say, a psychic reading from a video. And she said, that water is radioactive.
Yeah.
Which melded perfectly with Zias told me independently that the tsunami was caused by nuclear detonation. Now, that's the element that the Jim Stone article did not mm-hmm. mention or talk about. And I don't hold that against him.
Or the cause of the earthquake, for that matter. or the cause of the meltdown, you see. And his work, if you want to call it work, because I see this as a psyop, okay? I see it as an agency-produced production, like a movie script. And there are now elements like he's confronting an individual, and he uses the name David. And his writing exposes a typical pattern, a syntax, I call it, that you see in psyops when pieces are generated by the intelligence community. And I agree with what ZS said, because I had the same impressions. I wasn't very vocal about it in the beginning. My initial take was that the earthquake was also artificially created. And we came up with other data. So this operation is designed to deflect attention away from the things we brought out, because we hit a bullseye on everything. I just want to make that.
Yeah, that and you told me, I know you told me that privately, and I have to say that that's certainly a credible thesis, Don. It fits the pattern of how when you, I've said it in print a bit, but it needs to be said because it was a bullseye. This man came out with an article on May 28th. The article I came out with that said essentially the elements we've already reviewed here, I came out with that article on March 12th, 2011, the day after the event, and other articles that followed within days, in the rest of March, in April, in May. We've had maybe six radio shows now that touched on the seven, perhaps, that touched on the Japan story. If breaking the story the day after event isn't hitting a bullseye, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that fairly in the interest of chest beating and harumping and boasting.
This isn't about ego. This is about the truth.
Yeah. However, though, I sent this to Jeff Renz and particularly completely ignored my emails, didn't respond, didn't post anything about this. Instead, he's running with the sky is falling radiation angle, mm-hmm. let's say. And so I sent it around a few people. I don't know how many people picked it up, but I put it up there. And again, it was more ZS's ability and this other party's ability who were telling me these things. And I did the typing, and I had a guy from the Netherlands send me a seismograph And it was so typically the sort of seismograph reading that you get with an explosion of a nuclear device under the seafloor. Because Zias had already talked about this. He gave a lecture, might have been 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago in Vancouver, in which he sent me a DVD of his presentation. He's talking to the audience, and he's making a drawing on the chalkboard illustrating the sort of seismogram you get from a genuine earthquake, a natural earthquake, which sort of has a build-up, a peak, and then a phase down, you know, a gradual lowering. When you have a nuclear explosion, you have an almost instantaneous max pulse of energy.
Yeah,
so it goes from zero to max, and then you get this ringing bell shape type of...
We discussed that on some past shows. You see the charge being set off as part of the sound wave signature.
Right, there's the little ripple before the main spike. Yep.
Yeah, an instantaneous peak, which indicates an explosion, not a buildup of standing waves. And we talked about that at great length. You don't hear them talking about standing waves. You don't hear them talking about the nature of what gives a seismographic visual representation converted into sound wave frequencies that can be measured and in terms of attack, decay, sustain, and release. That's synthesis. That's music synthesis as well. You can do that with any sound. It can be analyzed that way. So the way this information is being handled and treated, it's an obvious psyop. That's what I'm saying. Now, when you look into the research of the names being used behind these stories that come out, it points to military bases, military intelligence, locations, and even real estate money laundering. Again, it's not by accident. You know, it's like I could be looking to find out where earthworms are coming out of the ground, and it'll lead me to some shady real estate deals. You know, it's so we know who's behind it. Now, I know you probably have much more to say, and we didn't really intend to go into great depth on this issue. At least you didn't. I want to allow ZS the opportunity to comment on what we've discussed. And then I want to give you the opportunity to go into what I was referencing in my opening remarks. ZS, are you with us?
Well, a lot of the detective work leading up to understanding what was happening with the underwater explosions had to do with reading Joe Viles many years ago. And his talk on the explosion underneath the Indian Ocean. So I've been actually keeping daily track of earthquakes worldwide. And there, ever since 2008, there had been an incredible increase in number of earthquakes. And also in 2008 is when the Department of Homeland Security wrote to seismologists that they could not publish their information or distribute the information on anyway without permission from Department of Homeland Security. And, of course, there's been no approval for them to publish what they're doing. So there's probably 100,000 seismologists around the world looking at these seismograms and knowing that there's a whole lot of crap going down.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can fudge the figures or they can fudge the graphs too, can't they?
Yeah, there's been a lot of fudging of the graphs in the last little while, or mixing up of graphs, or taking one earthquake and substituting it for another. So I've seen natural and fake seismograms for very questionable events off the coast of Japan. And I just know that the information has been fudged.
Mm-hmm. Well, simply put, that's designed to mask what's really going on, or at least to confuse somebody who might have a greater understanding of what data they can recognize and attribute, you know, to a certain cause.
And I actually saw the attack coming, shaping up even before Benjamin Fulford said something about an artificial earthquake under one of the nuclear reactors on the west coast of Japan a couple years ago, because there have been a series of artificial earthquakes about 1,200 kilometers, 800 miles south of Tokyo City in the volcanic island chain, and they were all artificial. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of 4.7 to 6.0 earthquakes, all on the subduction zone, which is part of the Marianas Trench, the deepest trench in the world, 36,000 feet deep.
Yeah, and now I've also referenced the underwater base that comically is represented as an island that belongs to Japan and is being guarded by the United States, so it's not stolen by the Chinese. I mean, it's the most ridiculous story you've ever seen. And the artist that did the renderings, a Japanese artist named Kazu, gives the address of this island and the drawing, the structure that he drew. In other words, is a three-dimensional drawing that he gives an address in Tokyo. It's ridiculous, the cover-up, okay? So it's when you follow the information that's available. And I'd been looking at this base about 2 weeks prior to this whole event, okay? And I began to understand that I became aware or was made aware of that base because it was going to lead to something else.
Okay. Do you believe that that base was under attack by forces, other forces?
Mm-hmm.
The attack on the there's also attack in the area where the Gulf of Aden meets up with the Red Sea.
Yes.
And there was a series of artificial earthquakes all clustered in there for months, and they're still happening every once in a while, and they're all artificial on the ocean bottom or 10 kilometers deep. And that's where there's supposed to be a vortex or an energy signature, which could be an alien of alien creation.
It's a multi-dimensional portal that has been accessed and has been being used, and that flotilla that was floating around in the Gulf of Aden was actually preventing people from getting near that. That's why they were there. That's the real reason. And what they did to keep people away from that area and from Somalia was put out a bunch of stories and videos of piracy going on, you see?
And boats being held for months until ransom was paid and the people were let free.
Yeah, this was all to keep people out of that area, to give them the pretext to prevent people from discovering what was really going on. Not that people on the Love Boat are going to know that there's a vortex there, but they have to be able to explain why all these ships encircled that entire area. This was a multinational effort, by the way.
Yep, you know, right.
They had videos of Russian Navy arresting pirates and then blowing up their boat. You know, all staged.
Right.
It was a sea movie at best.
And the latest attack with artificial earthquakes has been Central Alaska. There's been a whole series of unnatural earthquakes on the Panhandle, or not Panhandle, but the Seward Peninsula and north. And you're again the 4.7 to 6, and the earthquakes reading on the Alaskan seismograms are all single spikes, so they're very artificial.
Mm-hmm.
But the increase in the attack came after the last full moon, and surprisingly, according to a lot of people in the past who predicted that the earthquake should peak on the full moon when you have the tidal action between the Earth, Moon, and Sun at its maximum or in that time period around there. But for some reason, they turn off, for a good reason, they're turning off their artificial earthquake machines and just seeing where the tectonic forces are being released naturally and then coming back and hitting that area, because there was a 4.7 on the Seward Peninsula, the volcanic peninsula south of Anchorage, and there was a, and that was a natural earthquake. And then a day or so later, we had a start of artificial earthquakes throughout that whole region, about 20 or 30. So they're trying to create some sort of movement in Alaska.
Well, that could be oil industry fracking. Yeah. For example.
Yeah, nuclear fracking or using force beams or reversed or adopted or perverted UFO drives or force beams.
Yeah, we should have the word perverted in everything we're talking about in that regard. Okay, well, we could do a whole entire show on this topic and go into, you know, much more depth, but I want to go back to Ken and allow him to talk about this other issue of these people who are involved in these attacks, because it connects with all of this we're talking about. Again, you know, we hit a bullseye, and so they have determined they have to counter the truth that's come out and what we've said. They're not going to come out and admit it, okay? They're going to put their agents out, their provocateurs. And it's interesting that all of this comes down at the same time, you see, because there's a lot of truth coming out all at once over a variety of topics. Ken, I know that you brought to my attention a particular individual that was defaming you, making wild accusations about you, and I know you want to address that. And I've done some work which definitely ties it into other things that are happening in that regard. So go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to talk about one individual in particular for the reason you just mentioned, because there's a hidden story, if you will, or let's put it, a hidden mystery at my website that I'm going to explain tonight, because I've had emails over the years asking me about why I didn't do something, which I'll explain in a minute. And typically I would not provide the details, but just say something very vague and broad. I got an email from a fellow named Aaron who contacts me from time to time. He has interesting comments to make on things that I've posted, or he'll bring my attention to something that usually I find interesting. He sent me a short email, I think it was July 1, and mentioned that there was a new article posted to a blog. I think it was called The Activist Post. And he says, this article is about the 10 most influential people, you know, on the internet who are having, and he wanted me to know that somebody in the comments section, actually there's two people, just mentioned me, and you know, he thought that would be interesting for me to see that, but also what did I think of the list, because he didn't quite agree with this, you know, top 10 list. So I went to that link, I read it, and actually, I don't quite agree with the top 10 list, because at least five of the individuals on the top among this, what this blog is claiming is the top 10 most influential people, I never even heard of them. I never heard of their name, never heard of their work. One guy I heard of very recently, I put up a video a couple months ago about this guy named Dave Kokesh, or I think it's Kokesh, perhaps.
Adam Kokesh, maybe?
Thank you. Adam Kokesh in Washington, D.C. at the Jefferson Memorial. And they were making a point. They were staging, let's say, this point that these police there were arresting people who were merely gyrating in a way that, you know, moving in a way, in a rhythmic way that you could call dancing. But they did it intentionally to illustrate the stupidity of the behavior of the police there. They're body slamming these people. They're treating them like it's a narcotic bust, you know, of the most dangerous criminals. And these people who are just, you know, going to the memorial there, a man is, you know, has his arms around a woman, and, you know, they're barely moving. The police arrest them. So that's why he staged. Good. It's an important demonstration. These guys had the energy and willingness to do that. Great, because I'm all for helping to illustrate the increasing illogical, irresponsible, and fascist behavior that police have, you know, are showing in the last decade or two. And this problem needs to be addressed. So I applaud him for that. However, he was listed among this top 10 list, I guess, position 5 or 6 or something like that. And that's ridiculous. The guy just showed up on the internet a few months ago. He's certainly not among the top 10, but be that as it may, this fellow wanted me to see that. Okay, I read that. He also mentioned in the same email, he says, by the way, he says, you've been pegged as a NSA Satanist by some crackpot who goes by the name of Luhan at Luhan.com. Now, I knew who that was. I didn't know him personally, but I knew of the name because I had heard the name a number of times through Don Croft. Don Croft often alluded to this guy in his writings, and when I got together with Don Croft during the period I was seeing him, which is approximately between 2002 and 2005, let's say, I met him and his wife on a few occasions we got together. This guy's name came up more than once. I thought he was an okay guy. They seemed to indicate he had some skill in making coils, and, you know, so I thought he was okay. I thought he was sort of a good guy, part of their orgone friends, you know, orgone making friends. I didn't have the time then in subsequent years to really read many of these, let's say, orgone movement blogs because I just didn't have the time. I read it a little bit. There was a forum that was started by Stephanie Ralph. Actually, it was the first forum that talked about orgone generators. It was called the Cloudbuster Forum, and Stephanie Ralph started it really because of Don Croft's launching of the orgone generator movement by making, you know, a chembuster and talking about it, etc. Don Croft was sending me a number of essays in the fall of 2001, articles really, not so much essays, in which he's talking about the effects of these things. And it took me a couple months to actually sit down and take the time to read them. But by November or so, I think, if I remember right, about November of 2001, I did get to read them more seriously, and I was pretty impressed. So I started to communicate with him, and we exchanged some stuff. He was interested in the Joe Cell, which I had written a story about. I had put together a manual about it. I had some recordings. So he offered to exchange some devices that he made with, you know, for Joe Cell material. So we did that. So we sort of kicked off our relationship with that. I wrote a story in December, which I had published in New Dawn magazine out of Australia in January of 2002. And that same month, I posted an article on my website called Goodbye Chemtrails, Hello Blue Skies. And it explains the story of how Don Croft stumbled upon this information to make the first chembuster. And I sort of explained the background with Wilhelm Reich and the two polarities of orgone energy, so forth and so on. So I started to post emails I was getting from Don Croft and his wife. They were going on the road. They were gifting these orgone generators at different locations around the country, and they were having all kinds of really dramatic and interesting encounters with government operatives who were shadowing them, and it was just amazing amount of...
That was the story, at least.
Right? Well, that's what... Yeah, I think it was largely on the level. It could have been some areas were, let's say, expanded upon or exaggerated. I'm not sure, but I did find it very fascinating. I was posting on my website, and a lot of people from around the world got to find out who Don Croft was and what he was doing. And I feel that I, through my website, played a pivotal role in exposing the Oregon generator story to a much larger audience than Don Croft or Stephanie Rolfe had achieved on their own. I'm not blaming them, but the fact of the matter is, at that time, I had a much larger readership, much larger internet following than either of them. So I was happy to participate. I thought it was a good information. It was useful. It was beneficial for everyone to know that. So I share that. Now, Z.S. Livingstone, because of those articles, contacted me somewhere in early 2002. July of 2002. He joined this first Cloudbuster forum, and he started to participate with other forum members. And I became increasingly interested in what he had to say, because he seemed to have real ability beyond what others were offering in this forum. And he was sending me separate articles that, when I finally, took the time to read them carefully, I started to see, this is good stuff. So I started to post his stuff in addition to the material I was getting from Don Croft. And what had happened is that Don Croft seemed to resent Z.S. Livingstone from very much in the beginning. Mm-hmm. He started to privately email me with negative, sarcastic comments about Z.S.'s words. And at the time, I couldn't see any justification for it, because Z.S. Livingstone is not a does not have a peacock sort of personality. He's not a boaster. He's the sort of person who tries to participate in a way to be helpful and additive to the efforts of a group, rather than to try to stand out as a star or, a headliner. It's not his personality at all. So I found it a little odd that Don is, carping about Z.S. It didn't really make much sense to me. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that made sense to me is that he was irritated because he was either jealous or envious of what Z.S. was saying, and maybe didn't like someone else on the forum who had some really good stuff to add. I started to think, Don seems to be most comfortable with people who behave more like sycophants and followers than with people who can express creative ideas of their own. Now, that those thoughts only began to form in my mind. I didn't argue with him about it. I didn't say anything to him about it, other than I registered this idea, Well, I don't know. A few months went by, and eventually Don Croft became so, impatient with Z.S. Livingstone, he just banned them from the forum altogether. I didn't like that at all. Now, I didn't participate in that forum myself. I got to read it a little, but I didn't, type in there and add my own two cents. I didn't have the time, but I did read it a bit at that time. So, okay. Anyway, we go into 2002 and 2003, and that forum, somehow the CIA at Yahoo was overriding Don Croft's ability to moderate the forum. So Don started another forum with another guy up in Washington. I think his name was Stuart Jackson. I guess Stuart Jackson had his own computer servers in his home, so that this prevented interference from these government operatives. So he started the second phase of this Cloudbuster forum with Stuart Jackson. The problem with that is, again, I didn't participate, but I was reading what they were writing and I was monitoring it. And what really got to me is that this new ally of Don Croft, this guy Stuart, who I didn't really know. I only read what he wrote to me in emails. I might have talked to him once or twice over the phone. I can't really remember. But this guy, along with other, let's say, insiders in this forum, suddenly are making these decisions about who is going to stay on the forum and who's going to be cut based on their dowsing impression of this individual. So there was people who I knew and liked and felt were wonderful contributory individuals. One guy, for instance, was a guy named Jeff Bagali from Nova Scotia, Canada. Jeff Bagali did a lot, quote, for the Oregon movement. He really went out of his way to do some very heroic and important things. I may talk about it. I have a article still on my website, my current news page, called A Mission to Tibet. Jeff Bagali got on a plane and flew to Tibet, and he distributed a lot of Oregon generators, largely because he was inspired by the work of Don Croft. And he was cut out of this forum based on this dowsing prowess of people like who? This Michael, this Stuart Jackson, maybe Don Croft, maybe some other insiders. Suddenly they're dowsing masters, and particularly this guy like Stuart just picked up a dowsing pendulum a week or two before this, and suddenly they're masters at dowsing. Now, this really incensed me. I really became quite angry at this type of behavior, and particularly these decisions based on dowsing. Well, listen, I've learned how to douse by going to the Dowsing Society somewhere around 1995, and I've taken, I don't know, 15 weekend workshops with Walter Woods, one of the best master dowsers in the country. And I never, ever, ever on my website ever stand on any answer I get from dowsing. I privately douse and I get what I get. And if it's, let's say, useful or appropriate to an individual in a private conversation, I'll tell them, well, dowsing tells me this. But never in my writing do I base my opinion or my prognostication based on what a dowsing, because I don't think I'm a master dowser, and I sure as hell know this Yo-Yo Stuart Jackson was a master dowser. And for them to slander and slight people like Z.S. Livingstone or Jeff Bagali or a dozen other people later on, another guy who called himself Sensei Dennis was also part of Don Croft's hit list. And so anyway, I became pretty irritated with all that, let's say, that sort of behavior of maligning people based on someone's dowse of them, or worse yet, on someone's supposed psychic ability. And that's where I'm coming to on this story about this character, yeah. Luhan. Yeah. Because he did you want to say something, Don?
Well, I do, but, conclude okay. Your thought.
Okay, you know? I know I'm kind of on a roll here. Okay, so this guy, Aaron, sent me this email on July 1. So because I knew who Luhan was, even though I never talked to him personally, I went to his website, and right there in his index page, you scroll down near the bottom, he refers to some other websites as kind of referring links. And he refers to this article that I wrote in 2002 called Goodbye Chemtrails, but he introduces the article by incredibly announcing that, well, this is a pretty good write-up describing what chem buses are, but be forewarned that this individual is a known NSA Satanist, yada, yada, yada. Holy Jesus. Of course, he was referring to me. This incensed me reading it coming from him, of all people, because I never said two words to this guy. Mm-hmm. And after reading that, I contacted him. I was not polite to him. I told him to explain why he's saying this about me. And this idiot sends me these hush mail responses, which can't open up. He can't just respond to me by ordinary email. He's got to play cloak and dagger because he only uses his Hushmail account. So I can't even read his response, because when I do what it tells me to do to read this Hushmail thing, it doesn't work. It's asking me for a password. I don't know what the password is because this idiot isn't giving it to me. I don't know how to get it. So anyway, I'm sending him back these plain text emails, and I'm telling him what an idiot he is and why doesn't he just tell me, in this email, instead of doing this hushmail crap, and just explain to me why he's saying this. he became huffy with me. I became huffy with him, but he still didn't explain it to me. I asked him twice in emails to send me his phone number. I want to talk to him directly on the phone. He wouldn't. And so anyway, once I had this exchange with him, I started to read his website, started to read his blogs, and oh my God, I can't get over what this guy is saying. This man who sent me the original email described him as a crackpot, he hit it on the head. This guy is an absolute lunatic. The name Lujan works well because it rhymes with Looney Tunes. And that's what this guy is. And I was completely unaware of this guy's slandering of me until this man brought it to my attention. So where I'm going here is that this guy, by the way, if you read his blogs, you would think he's Superman. He's the Lord God Shiva. This guy says things that are so over the top, you can't believe that anyone would actually pay attention to this psychotic nutcase. Claims that he has neutered Satan, he has neutered Lucifer, he has neutered Baal, Mephistopheles. If there's a name of a demonic entity, this guy claims he single-handedly put him out of commission. Man's writing is so insane, and I had no idea that he would launch into some incredible fantasies. So I really, you know, I told you how much this annoyed me because it reminded me of this conduct that, you know, Don Croft and the Stuart Jackson Center behaved on this Cloudbuster forum when they slandered ZS Jeff Begale. And the reason I stopped posting Don Croft's material, I guess it was about midsummer 2006, because I was getting feedback from other people telling me that this man and his wife are slandering me. They're telling people like Lily Oshescu of the Woman Warriors that, well, yeah, Ken is putting up our stuff, but never forget, he's really an agent. Good Lord. I turned this man into a saint on my website for 4.5 years running, and he's telling people who thank God were, you know, loyal enough to me to tell me this, that I'm this lowly government agent. This infuriated me that someone who I had helped boost his reputation and his work so much would do this to me. So I didn't say anything publicly because I thought what he had achieved in his writing and the inspiration that he had achieved to turn people on to the, let's call it the Oregon Generator Movement, was more important than me venting my anger at being slandered in this way.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything until July 2 because of this clown Lujan's comment that I'm going to say this publicly, why I stopped posting Don Croft, why I stopped talking and communicating to Don Croft. It's not because he didn't achieve something important. It's because of his unconscionable betrayal of me and many other people.
Let me interject something while you lower your blood pressure a little bit.
Okay.
Because this is going to show what happens when you really get down to the nitty gritty of who this is. You inform me of this individual by name, by the website, Lujan.com, and I got some initial impressions. And I asked myself, what does this have to do with Fort Smith? Well, Fort Smith is alleged to house a number of biological weapons, for one thing. It's like a depot, a storage depot for these types of contaminants that are unleashed in warfare or possibly put into chemtrails or whatever. So there's a connection. That was my initial impression. Okay, we're talking about intuition here. I envisioned this individual being in the state of Arkansas. I also envisioned the individual being possibly a collective of personalities. In other words, a psychological operation, not necessarily a person, but somebody posing as a person. So the logical place to begin determining who this is to look at the website and see if the website is registered, and it happens to have a post office box, 573 in Leslie, Arkansas. And that was a hit as far as my discerning where this individual was located. Although it's some distance away, it's in the Ozark Mountains. It's a small town. It's a town back in the 2000 census that only had 480 people, yet this guy's got post office box number 573. Now, there could be more people. It could be that everybody who owns a house in that area has a post office box. But what I found out in tracking the post office box is it was a concrete company that had that post office box number. And so did a bakery share the same phone number that he had listed on his website registration. So does the guy work for a concrete company, or does he work for a bakery, or is he manufacturing orgone devices? And so then I went to look at the devices he made, and I had some very strange impressions about what he made. And I thought, well, these look kind of advanced, but some of these things actually look like they either do nothing or they could be even dangerous to the person. If the person didn't know how to use it or understand what the coil did, because they had strange windings to them. They had a serpentine pattern right dead center in the middle. And at that point, the coil changed direction, which would represent a nullification of energy of and or some strange phenomena at the point where they met in the center. Okay? These are just intuitive impressions that I got. So as I'm uncovering this information, I'm finding that my impressions are being confirmed by the actual data that I'm finding, and then I'm getting the impressions this operation, we'll refer to this Lujan as an operation rather than a person. I began seeing it that way and feeling it that way, and finding evidence that supported how I felt about it, what my intuition was telling me. And so I began researching the post office box, and eventually I came upon a document from the Arkansas. It was a group there in Leslie, Arkansas, or Little Rock, Arkansas, the Arkansas Public Service Commission Utilities Division. And it was a press release issued on September 19th, 1997. And basically, it's a 38-page document. The first two pages reference the fact that they're going to contact the media and put out an announcement about a rate increase in energy. And then the rest of the document is all the addresses and names of people who run various parts of the media or are mayors in the various towns in Arkansas. So it's media personnel and then political people, mayors. And though I couldn't locate officially a post office box 573 in Leslie, Arkansas, what I did locate was a P.O. Box 73 with a name attached to a TV station called KPBI-TV. And this was a TV station that was scheduled to go dark in 2009. They very well may have. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And they were, although their location was purported to have been, as far as a corporation, the station is located in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, serving the, get this, Fayetteville, Fort Smith area. Okay, so now I have a connection to Fort Smith via this TV station and via this post office box number, which doesn't make sense. Who is it, the concrete company, the bakery in Leslie, Arkansas, or this TV station? It it led me down a trail that tells me that this is all controlled by a military entity, this entire thing. Well, you want to talk about who controls propaganda. It's government. It's the media just follows suit. And the official office, the corporate offices for this company were alleged to have been in Springfield, Missouri. So coincidentally, the bakery also ships their baked goods in to Springfield, Missouri. I found that was another anomaly that was outside the box, but it indicated that I was onto something there. So I see this whole thing as an operation to discredit your work, to impinge upon your own contribution to humanity in making orgone devices available to people. Basically, it's set up to be a competition. But the individual, unless you understand what the 324th dimension is, you can't imagine what a lunatic this would be if it was one person. But but to me, it's an operation. It's a psychological operation orchestrated by the U.S. Army, and likely they're located in Fort Smith. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to express that. It goes much further than that. It goes much deeper. But coincidentally, I was talking to Truant this past Monday. He was on my show, and he mentioned to me before we went on the air that he was instructed to do the research on this character, Luhan, or research Luhan, he was told. And that ties to this same operation, this PSYOP, being generated to in the attempt to defame and discredit us, calling us Satanists. So that's uncanny that when I said that name, he's, wait a minute, you know, I've got this in emails from this guy, this alleged David Main, who has been tracked to an attorney in Los Angeles, by the way. See?
Right. So what you're saying is that David Main is told Truat, independently, before hearing this name from you, he suggested to Truat to look up this guy, Luhan. Now, why with a guy who has the name David Main, whose name is involved in the intrigue that Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane had agitated trying to slander Truat in a let's say another smear operation, that one of the characters who seems to be some sort of operative, I'm guessing, but it seems that this David Main is somehow an operative in this game.
Oh yeah, they're the connections are off the charts when you see
right.
What's there.
We tell Truat, look up this relatively obscure individual named Luhan, because this guy doesn't really have a big following.
Well, he goes. Yeah, electric. He goes by the name Dexter Ator on his website registration, okay, on his domain registration.
Right.
And Dexter Ator is a guy that worked in naval intelligence out of the state of Texas in the 1950s, okay? I've got a photograph of this guy and a whole story about his naval career, how he rose up from an ordinary seaman through a warrant officer and then became a commissioned officer, a very unusual track, okay? And by all means, this individual is probably dead, but they use these identifications. They use the ID for purposes of money laundering and obfuscation in real estate. Every person connected to this thing, even the general manager at the TV station, her name comes up in real estate, even in Chicago, okay? So it's again, this cabal of criminals that are working behind the scenes and have exercise a certain amount of control over intelligence agencies through extortion and bribery and blackmail and murder and whatever. And there are branches in the military that are part of this satanic cult. See, they'll go after you just because you supported Dr. Jeffrey McDonald. For how many years you've been, you know, showing how he was railroaded into jail.
And actually, due to the work of Ted Gundersen, my website's probably the main website on the internet that has been defending Ted Gundersen since 1999 against the absolute scandalous and scurrilous lies generated by people like Barbara Hartwell, Stu Webb, and a host of Virginia McCulloch and a host of other character assassins. So we know that part of the Len Horowitz, Sherry Kane attack venue that began August of 2010 and peaked there in June of this year with this phony temporary restraining order nonsense. While that event concerned Truat, the headpin of their attacks, starting, let's say, August of last year, was Ted Gundersen with smears to John DeCamp and some other individuals that, you know, I'm not particularly interested in talking about, but people who slander Ted Gundersen are people that I'm going to respond to, simply because Ted Gundersen doesn't deserve it. The man is in trouble. He's not doing well. He has cancer, and he's in big trouble. Yeah. He's 82 years old, and that's why I wrote a couple articles defending Truat, because I didn't like what the Horowitz and Kane were saying about Ted Gundersen either. They're slanderers.
Yeah.
And I know now how Ted feels when he's accused of being a Satanist. He's accused of being this dark double agent by mind control chippies like Barbara Hartwell or the idiot Stu Webb. I know how it feels, because this Lolo, this Lujan maniac, has accused me of that very thing.
Yeah, and, well, it's just off the charts how they're all jumping on this bandwagon, and you know it's a lie. We all know these are lies, okay?
Yeah.
And it's the Hegelian dialectic that these people use. They use this on the whole populace of this country, and they use it on the whole world. It's just another tactic. It's desperation on their part, because there's so much truth coming out. And that's what we want to focus on. We want people to pay attention to what is true. Just that somebody comes out and makes these accusations. I shared my intuition and following the trail that's left there. If you look deep enough, you can find out. You know, why does this guy have the same phone number as a bakery? Is he operating his website? Is he making orgone generators next to the muffins that they bake?
Right. There's,
you know,
the bagel of silence.
Yes. Let's give ZS an opportunity chime in, because I know he was using his intuition in all this. Well, I could feel him.
Well, I've gone through being called all sorts of names for over 40 years. I've been called everything under the you can possibly imagine ever since 1970, 71. And I've just grown a strong, just saying it's all illusion, and gone on and just kept doing my thing. Mm-hmm. Kept one step in front of the other, growing stronger and stronger each day. And so that's what I recommend to people who've been through this. And there's literally hundreds of people who are following Don Croft. 600 people were in the original forums in 2001, 2002, until it was cut down in 2003 to just a handful of people.
Yeah.
And they were all angry. They felt that they were doing good work and they deserved recognition, and that they were just turned aside. And so every once in a while I'll get word from Nova Scotia and thanking me for my articles and continuing the work. And from all sorts of different points around the world. And a lot of them have been hearing that I'm an agent or I'm a dark one since 2002.
Yeah, it's always divide and conquer. Okay, yeah. there could be, and I'm not saying that the whole group was, you know, of a pure holistic nature in and of itself. It's not about judging who the individuals are that are contributing to the chat forums or sharing their discoveries or just talking about things in general so they can learn something.
I was only a blot on the Stuart Jackson site from September 2002 through January 15th, 2003. That's when I was cut off by Stuart Jackson. He was based out of the Bay Area. And
why does that surprise me?
I wrote him why you cut me off. I have four cloud. One of the things you were supposed to have is cloudbusters. I told him I had four cloudbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And he doused it. You don't have any. Okay, well, sorry, your dousing is wrong.
Yeah. You see, I know a lot about the research that's been done with Tesla coils and other devices that some might apply to the orgone generator or accumulator field.
Yes.
But this guy's got pictures of stuff that I know. You can sense that this guy didn't make this. In fact, you know, it's more someone else's laboratory work, likely devices that I sense just from looking at the picture are putting out they're putting out negative energy,
mm-hmm.
not positive energy, or that they don't do anything. They don't work or, you know, they're harmful to people.
I tried having a conversation with Luhan back in 2002, and he wouldn't respond. Finally, I did get a response, and it was just a little note. And then I started asking people who I know in the organized forum, where's Luhan based out of? And they said, well, Northern Florida. I think he's in Georgia. And I was picking up Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Told Arkansas, but I just on the spiritual level, I couldn't pin them down to one spot or one yeah. individual.
Yeah, and you know, all of these characters that we've been looking into, and not just that we mentioned tonight, but in regard to this whole smear campaign, have ties to military intelligence, the aerospace industry, and the army. Okay, and likely, you know, if we keep looking, we're going to find they're even involved with the Merchant Marines. So, you know, I mean, it's overkill in that regard. But it's, you know, you keep finding these references to Bellingham, Washington. Okay, well, there's a naval base up in that area. Okay, and there's ties to Microsoft in every phase of the research that some of us have done in this regard to determine who's behind these attacks, you see. And we got to the truth fairly quickly, within a day.
Yeah.
Within a day, several of us. And I'm finding that what I'm being told now from what's coming from other investigators, I knew right from the get-go, from the beginning. And, you know, I don't profess to know everything, but I certainly know how to research, and I certainly know how to look at something from a multi-dimensional perspective, okay? Seeing it like you do and like Ken does.
Yes.
And anyone who's really interested in the truth, that's part of really having your heart in the right place and doing the right thing for humanity is the Creator will open up those pathways, those avenues. You have to study. God doesn't just hit you on the head with a magic wand and say, there you are. Now you know everything that I do. It's nothing of the sort. We're in a learning process like everybody else.
Right.
But when you see the truth in one area, you can apply the same principles to another area. And if it doesn't fit, something's wrong. That's where the research comes in. And you find out, well, we were lied to when we were children, or we were lied to as adults. We're being lied to now. Why is the question, you see? And ultimately, the whole planet is operating under this punishment reward system that punishes us when we reveal higher truth, when we reveal our true nature to the rest of mankind. They don't want that done. They want us to be controlled and dumbed down and spiritually void, and even disavow that there is a creator. Or if we're going to worship anything, they want us to worship the demons that they worship.
In power. And the
demons that they are. Yeah, it's all about power and control. Gentlemen, we have to wrap up, but I want to give you both an opportunity to make some closing comments. So, ZS, since you have the floor, why don't you start off?
Well, I go way back on. You mentioned the military base in Bellingham back in 1971, 72. I was in Vancouver and I saw the corduroy sky of a Tesla coil in operation out of Bellingham. You could see the ripple action coming up, and I asked my teacher, "What is causing that corduroy or that rippled beach sand sort of ripple sky?" And he said, "Scalar waves." That's 1971. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we can attribute a lot of what's happening to the weather too. I think it was you that was mentioning all the strange signatures, radar patterns.
Right. So it's been going a long time.
Yes.
And of course, Bearden talks about the woodpecker signal coming out of Russia and the weather control being exercised out of Siberia and other points onto the North American continent in 1976. But this operation has been going on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Could go right back to the 1910, 1920 period.
Yeah, and this is not, generally speaking, this is not being used for benevolent purposes.
No, no.
That's obvious. And all one need do is go look at some pictures of the Earth and cities and the country in a National Geographic magazine or in an encyclopedia. Go back to a book published in the 50s or the 60s. And then look at what's out there with your own eyes today, and you can see that this planet is dying because of what's going on. And of course, we bring this out, and we're attacked because we're not supposed to be telling anybody this. We're not supposed to be noticing, and they've invested too much in controlling people's consciousness to the point that they think that everybody's sufficiently dumbed down that they can move in for the final kill. So, you know, this has international implications, by the way, what we talked about tonight. This is not just one branch of the military. Mm-hmm. This has to do with the UN, and it has to do with the EU and virtually every nation on this planet. So, ZS, are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. Ken, your closing comments.
Thanks, Don. We launched into this topic tonight not because I particularly wanted to, because last week when we did our last show on June 28th, I said that with our next show I wanted to introduce some valuable new information. Well, it's older information, but it's largely unknown, that I had gleaned because I have a very extensive library of information obtained from Borderlands Research Foundation. I wanted to discuss some simple but very effective therapies. Due to this email I got, direct me to this Lujan's website, it riled me enough that I took the time to talk to you about this guy, and I had this back and forth emails with this character, and I told him I'm going to I'm going to do some writing on my own about him for his outrageous mistreatment of me, and because his name was tied in with these unfortunate events that occurred against Z.S. Livingstone and the other people who were slandered on this forum, which Don Croft and this guy Jackson had oversaw. I felt it was essentially I had to say something about this because I've never discussed it before on my website. I normally don't believe in patent-placed type melodrama. It usually doesn't serve a useful purpose.
It's a waste of energy. Yeah,
it's a waste of energy. But in this particular case, because this guy was directly slandering me with such outrageous statements, NSA agent, Satanist, I am not going to sit still when I'm slandered by people like him. I'll ignore idiots like Barbara Hartwell or Stu Webb, because by responding to them, I give them a greater audience than they would gain otherwise. And I've just learned a long time ago, it's a total waste of time. So I don't read what Barbara Hartwell writes about me. I don't care what she writes about me. She's totally unimportant. She's a cipher. She's a nothing. She's a drain on anyone's energy who waste their time with her. So I know that. However, this individual is a different story, because he was a part of this Orgone forum. I thought he was essentially a supporter of me. I didn't realize that he would launch into this thing. And I'm going to write more about this individual. I'm going to tell the world what he's saying on his website. I don't know if you recall, you're the one who pointed out to me, this guy claims he has something like 3,000 reptilian wives. This guy's statements are so insane, it's unbelievable. So I plan to expose him just to let him know that I'm just not going to sit still for this type of mistreatment. And I really don't prefer to do this, but I'm going to do it in his case because he richly deserves it. So
oh, yeah.
I'll end with that, and I sort of apologize to the audience that we have to discuss these things, but this thing needed to be ventilated, so that's why we talked about it on this show.
It connects the dots. It instantly connected the dots to the other goings-on. So
Yeah.
It's related to the accuracy of the research. That's all it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you said it about being over the target, so it seems to be that what you just said, you don't really get the flack until you're over the target, and that seems to be the case. And this guy seemed to have started his campaign just last year, September of last year. Well, that fits in perfectly with the hurricane attacks on Ted Gunnison et al., which started in August of last year. So there seems to be some sort of coordination here with this guy's attack on me.
Yeah, yeah. And we know who's ultimately behind it, so...
Yeah.
That said, I want to thank you both for being on the show tonight, and I want to let the listening audience know that you'll be back with us again Thursday the 14th, and that includes all those operatives out there that have to monitor every word. So, you know, just prepare, you know, pack a lunch and set up a few beers or whatever it is you drink, and enjoy the show. I do want to reference something. I did make the statement several years ago, and General Jeremiah, this is a very sore topic with these folks, by the way, from the United Galactic Federation. He's actually an American, okay? And he had a military background and was chosen by the people in the Federation as a person of integrity, spiritual integrity, to be a representative, to be a spokesman for planet Earth. And I was fortunate through my work in ufology, and some of it's my dowsing capability and my intuition and my ability to translate things that I had nothing to do with into a real-time experience. He was moved by that, and we became friends, and we worked on a number of investigations, ways that this country has been attempted to be brought to its knees, have been stifled, and I'll, you know, with my last breath, I'll continue to do that work as I know he will. And he announced on shows, one you were on with, Ken, that we would be seeing their craft more often. Now, they're attacked anytime they come anywhere near the ground level here, so they have to be very cautious. And we've weathered the storm of disinfo agents and operatives that want to attack us or attack me because of the photographs I've published of another planet in this galaxy. And we'll weather these attacks the same way. We know where they come from, and it's simple, and we can prove it. But his words came true, and his craft was somewhat accidentally photographed at the Dome of the Rock incident on January 28th. On June 28th of this year, a whole squadron of craft were filmed over the BBC building in London, and in from the street perspective there, as well as from across the Thames River in with the Tower Bridge, the London Tower Bridge in the foreground, you can see the craft there. And it's not a Photoshop job. It's not manipulation or compiled video. These are ordinary people that got their video cameras out and took pictures of craft moving through the sky. Now, the powers that be that deny that flying saucers exist, remember, they're crash dummies, weather balloons, and swamp gas, will then claim that these craft belong to them. Anything to discredit the information that I've brought out. Those that know me well know I'm speaking the truth about it, and we will be seeing more of their craft. We were told that several years ago, and it's been filmed numerous times, posted on YouTube, taken down with the piss-poor excuse that those videos somehow violated someone's copyright, which is absolutely ludicrous. But I wanted to bring that to your attention on the air so that people will look for those videos. There is a website called Fidio with an F. Fidio, spelled, I think it's F-I-D-Y-O. And they have that posted there. I haven't seen it on YouTube. Maybe that's because they don't want it taken down.
I have a link on my current news page to those shots.
I forwarded that to you, if I recall.
Yes, you did.
I've been doing
it. So I just wanted to let you know if someone wanted to see it, they can just go to current news. It's there.
All right. Gentlemen, a lot of truth has come out tonight. And Ken, you know, we stand beside your work and ZS as well. They never counted on people waking up, and they never counted on people having enough courage to bring out the truth. And, you know, you've got to use discernment, folks, because when you start reading the articles that some of these operatives are putting out, you can look at the grammar. Look at where they place their punctuation. And it's a repetitive pattern. They're never going to get it right because they're all programmed. and you're not dealing with the brightest people in the world. Shrewd, maybe, okay? Intelligent, you know, I think that they call themselves the intelligent or intelligence community is an oxymoron. It's a misnomer. And it's to its own Hegelian dialectic. Gentlemen, I look forward to your next appearance on the 14th of July. Thank you for your input on the show. And be well, be safe, and continue your great work.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Ken Adachi and Zura Nova Star Livingstone. Be sure to visit Ken's website, educate-yourself.org. Read up on Ken's articles as well as all of ZS's essays. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. I should thank the four World Intelligence Agencies. Actually, there's at least 22 that listen to this show, so we know we have more than 18 more than Lujan has paying attention to his work, or Jim Stone, or Dutch Sintz. So keep that in mind. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night on Wellness Wednesday, when my special guest will be Dr. Wayne Pickering. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.